It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Mike Evans, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
All right, we're live. Welcome back to the Roster Watch Big Fantasy Draft Show. Sorry about the technical difficulties to start out there. We're a few minutes late, but we know that you guys have a bunch of questions as far as your fantasy football drafts this weekend. And so want to make sure that we can answer those for you guys. And we're gonna be here doing it for the next hour or so. We have some updates to all of the magnanimous Roster Watch Ultimate Draft cheat sheets at rosterwatch.com. We had to get some updates in today because we had the news last night with Jaden Blue for the Cowboys, where it looked like he might have hurt his foot, re-injured something. He was actually the second guy in there after Deuce Vaughn, and upon the replays and stuff, you have all the Twitter docs saying that is 100% a high ankle sprain. He's going to be out 3 to 4 weeks, and he might not be ready for another, might not be full steam for another, three to four weeks after that, right? A high ankle sprain coming into the season for a guy that we were betting on to come in, get hot early, take a job from a dusty Javonte Williams, a dusty Miles Sanders. Now, I know what I've done on the cheat sheets. I know what Cody's done. What would be your plan if you were in charge of the whole structure of things? Would he just be off the board for you now?
I wouldn't put him off the board entirely, especially not in dynasty formats. I think that you have to drop him considerably. I think what you have to do is you have to put Phil Moth on the board somewhere low. For sure. But I think Javonte Williams maybe gets a little boost. I mean, like Miles Sanders, he looked so bad. And I feel like that's one guy that you really don't have to. I mean, I really wouldn't want to get more exposure to, even with Jaden Blue being out for potentially 3 to 4 weeks.
What about Javonte? But you're saying about Javonte?
I was talking about Miles Sanders.
Yeah, but Javonte, I think Javonte becomes appealing.
Yeah, I said Javonte needs to maybe get a slight boost.
If you look at it, so I was kind of looking at this earlier because there's a cluster of these guys in the J.K. Dobbins, Javonte Williams, Quinshon Judkins, Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt. If we're looking at where guys are being drafted right now, and then you can even throw Zach Charbonnet in there. So I think that Charbonnet, maybe with all the buzz that we've gotten, with him, with, Ken Walker missing all this practice, Charbonnet hasn't missed any practice at all. He's looking good. They're getting more and more quotes about him. I think it's pretty evident that Ken Walker will probably miss games at some point this season, and Charbonnet you can get as a running back 4, running back 5. That you can stash on your bench for those occasions, or if it's something where it turns into a full-blown committee where he keeps on looking as good and they keep on managing Ken Walker in a certain way. I'm not saying that you should rank him at the tops of those guys, but he is going in that group. So how would you stack these guys up right now? J.K. Dobbins, Zach Charbonnet, Quinshon Judkins, Bill Kroski Merritt, and Javonte Williams.
I put Javonte at the top of that list, followed by J.K., then Bill.
Okay. As far as the way that I have it right now in PPR, I don't know if Oh, but and then did you mention anything about Quinshon Judkins?
Oh no, no, no. Shoot. I mean, I put him at the end of that list I just gave you. He would be the next one in that list I just gave you.
Okay, well, he's higher up than all the rest of these guys. I think I've got it on the sheet where I'm getting a good amount of Javonte Williams, a decent amount of Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. Dude, here's my.
I mean, if we like Dylan Sampson as much as we do, though, does it make sense to have Quinshon that high?
Well, I just think Quinshon, once he gets signed and once he gets up to speed, I think that that's going to be a total major difference maker for you. And I think that he's going to be in the type of role where it's going to be a different kind of role than Dylan Sampson is going to be in. We've gotten these reports. And look, whenever I think of Dylan Sampson, I think about, you know, I think about Tennessee football, right? And I just think about this guy was unstoppable and the leading rusher in the SEC. It's just a total force and a weapon, a between the tackles monster, even despite his size, right? And but then you get these reports from camp saying like he's too small. You know, like these people, like we didn't get to Cleveland camp this year, right? But all the Cleveland beat writers who don't know him from that, they didn't. These journos that cover NFL teams, they don't, you know, they're not crazy about college football like we are. He didn't look small to me in college football, but you know, they're saying that he looks small. Like what were his exact measurements at the combine? 2025 staff rookie rankings. It was so at the combine. He was 5'8", 200 pounds on the dot, but admit small hands, eight and three quarter inch hands, and short arms. So definitely kind of a smaller guy, but
I mean, he's still smaller, but they're still saying he's looking to push Jerome forward for touches.
I get it, but that's all before Quinshon gets in, right?
Yeah, there's still some variables there in regards to him, you know, getting out there in the field and getting up to speed. I'm just saying, like, to have him above like Javonte Williams, is that what you're saying? You have him above Javonte Williams right now?
Quinshon?
Yeah. You said you had him above all those guys.
He's going. He was going ahead of Javonte Williams, but that was prior to the Jaden Blue.
Yeah, I just don't think I'm not putting him above Javonte Williams.
But wouldn't you like to get them both?
Yeah,
because if you put one, if I was going to put Javonte ahead of him, that means we don't get any Quinshon. At least that's the way the cheat sheet works. Like I would like to get some exposure to Quinshon, some exposure to Javonte. I'd like some exposure to Kroski-Merritt. I'd like some exposure to Austin Ekeler. What I like in some of these simulations, of course, using the Ultimate Draft cheat sheet, and you guys should download the cheat sheets. They have been updated across the board. They'll probably be updated again today. We know today is the biggest day of fantasy football drafts, so it's the best day to go ahead and support us. We've seen a bunch of new people signing up, man. We can't tell you guys how much we appreciate that. And for you guys who have yet to sign up, man, we're just here to tell you, you don't miss out. Don't go draft today or this week coming up or next weekend where you're going to be a spot where you're going to panic because you don't know what's going on or, you know, how these situations are unfolding. Like that's what we're here to do. And we're here to communicate directly with you guys. We have a bunch of people in the chat. What's up to our guy Steel Bill, who always, of course, is going to let us know who that. I was telling him in the comments section yesterday for one of our videos that I'll always be down with Who Dat Nation, man. I had one. It's probably gonna age me a little bit, but I did certainly have one.
Won't
Drew
be
Brees.
The only thing.
I did certainly have one Drew Brees take me to a high school state championship with the Austin Westlake Chaparrals. Kip C, what's going on, brother? John in Cedar Park, 1975 Independence. He's tilted about how these shows, about how we were getting bad grades on The Sims yesterday. And to that, I say, I'm tilted about the way that the Fantasy Pros mock draft simulator is grading out. It's particularly on the PPR cheat sheet because I'm putting together teams that I think are really good. And it was like, you know, because the fantasy pros experts are so in love with guys that I'm a little bit worried about, like Ladd McConkey. I'm a little bit worried about Ladd McConkey. And I've started running some tests where I'm like, okay, well, instead of going with, you know, one of these other guys here, like a cross positional play, like a Chase Brown, or maybe if I just wanted to go Tyreek over Ladd, or if I just wanted to go JSN over Ladd, and I just went with Ladd instead, all of a sudden, next thing you know, these things are banging out 96s and 97s. The simulator hates taking Christian McCaffrey at pick 7, which I love. The simulator hates taking Saquon Barkley at pick 4, because these fantasy pros experts, they're in this mindset where I don't think that they're thinking about how home league drafters are going to draft, and that's what our business is, right? Yeah. How home league drafters are going to draft. And if you were to go by what the expert consensus says at Fantasy Pros, you're going to have a whole draft of just wide receivers. It's like, you know, like if you want to, I mean, if you want to do that, I know Trashman doesn't mind doing that sometimes, but yeah, look,
I might do it tonight. We'll see.
Like we've always said. Yeah. So Trashman and I have our big college, what do we call it? I guess kind of high school and college league tonight. It's been doing it for 25 years.
I haven't been in it that long, but
yeah,
still my oldest league.
But one thing I'll say just about the grades, like, you know, you might get done on Yahoo and it's going to tell you that you get a 78 or whatever. If you follow the sheet and you listen to our advice, don't worry about those things, especially because they're going to knock you for half the time. I don't even draft a kicker or a defense. You know, I'll pick up some other guys that I can just, you know, drop. The looks like we got Matty Kiwoom. We're going to bring on Matty here in a second. But you know, like if you do things like that, it's going to give you like a 65 because it's going to say, well, you didn't even draft a full roster, or like, we don't like your kicker or your D. And it's like, who cares? We're going to stream those guys all year long and have recommendations for you. So don't worry about it. Again, if you guys have questions, let us know and we will get to them. Let's bring on Matty Kiwoom here. Matty.
Yeah, baby.
Matty, yeah. You can find him on X at Matty. What is it, Matt? Matty Kiwoom.
Yes, sir. Kiwoom.
Have you ever met Trash Man?
No, this I think is the first time we've ever been on the same show together, T. I don't think we've ever collabed before. It's an honorable day. It's a big day for me. It's a big day.
Matty, Trash
Matty,
Trash Man, Matty. So Matty was at Player Pro. Are you back at Player Profiler?
Yeah, I'm doing a couple shows for them now too. I'm all over the place, guys. I've just been spread thin. I just keep spreading myself thinner. I don't know what I'm doing to myself.
Yeah. Well, you went to Patriots camp.
Yeah, I did. I got to go see joint practice with the Commanders. The one to go see, I would say.
Well, so like, what do you think about Travion Henderson and PPR at the 306?
Travion, I think Travion's the best pure playmaker the Patriots have had since prime Gronk. I mean, the way he's been talked about, the way I watch him on the field, he moves different. You know, remember when you guys are like, when you were young and you're like, I like that girl. And you're very like, do you like her? Or do you like her like her? Well, and when you talk about football players, there's fast and then there's fast. He's fast. He's just unnoticeable all day long.
If you like him so much, why don't you marry him?
the first thing that I thought when I first saw him, and it wasn't even on the first touch for the long kick return.
Is it Shane Vereen?
That's actually kind of an interesting thing to say. I think he's better. I take a little bit of offense to it because he's so much of a better prospect. But
yeah.
I mean, it's kind of not terrible. It wasn't even on the long touchdown return on the first touch that I was like, oh my God, the speed is so incredible. Because that was more just like, oh my gosh, that's the Travion Henderson open field vision. The same stuff that we saw in the semifinal game versus Texas when he caught the screen pass and takes it in, you know, Texas goes to the idiotic cover zero and with the simulated pressure, and you know, you can't do that against a guy like Travion Henderson, right? It won't happen at the NFL level. is what you think. But then you see, it's like, well, God, I mean, that open field vision is like nothing else I've ever seen. But Maddie, what I was most impressed with was like in that first game with Drake May, he comes out of that thing with what was a 60% target share with Drake May in the game. Mm-hmm. Also, on the play where Drake May got sack fumbled, that I'm convinced that was going to be a target to Travion. So it would have been even higher. But then it wasn't just that. It was like on those flare routes, on the design stuff, on the screens and stuff to Travion. It was how he could get to the corner and the way that he would pull up and pull away, the way that he would accelerate mm-hmm. up the sidelines. And you're just like, how did he? It was almost a part of his game and what his attributes and skills, it popped off the screen so much to me at the NFL level. I said, why didn't this pop off the screen to me so much in college? And it's just like, I think once you get to see him live, it's the same thing. But the question mm-hmm. remains, are you comfortable taking him in the third round of your fantasy draft?
Yeah, I am right now at running back 13. And that's
okay.
So I'm okay with it in the third round. I think that this type of player, you take chances on.
Do you have him over Omarion Hampton? Do you have him
James Cook? I do have him over James Cook. I do not have him over Omarion Hampton.
Do you think he's got Cook's touchdown upside?
No, but I don't think Cook has Cook upside anymore. Like I think that's I think in the course of his Bills career, that's going to be a massive outlier. It typically is for running backs, especially ones that aren't necessarily, you know, the hard nose up the gut goal line type. And as Josh Allen gets older, maybe he runs less, but he's still hungry. He's still looking for that first, you know, true dominant season from an NFL standpoint. So I don't see that going away.
But they also don't have, I mean, they still are kind of bereft of playmakers on that offense.
I mean, listen, James Cook, it's not like he's far behind, but I just think if they were to come out, and this is actually, I started thinking about certain players because of your conversation you guys had the other day, where T, you brought up, is Travion as good as Jahmyr Gibbs? And the conversation was, you know, kind of, I'm sure it took a lot of people back, but I think if they were in the same class, we wouldn't have graded them all that differently. Whereas if Travion and James Cook are in the same class, I think Travion would have been graded significantly higher. So at this point, I'm not going to chase touchdowns from, you know, a truly undersized back. But he's still good. He's still in my, you know, RB2 range easily.
And here's the thing, man. Like, all the research has told us that in PPR, a target's worth, what was it, 2.5, 2.6, 2.7x?
It's over a
carry. And so it's like, if you get a guy like Travion, and if we're getting six targets a game plus 10 attempts or something like that, you're talking about the same thing as a 23 attempt guy that just doesn't catch passes. Mm-hmm. It's like, I mean, I'm in on him. I don't think in home leagues you're gonna need to take him that early. I think in the leagues that we play in, and maybe in my home league,
he might be a first round pick, boys. I might have to take him with the 112.
Yeah. All right. So what about some of the other guys? Like anybody else stand out to you? Did you get any, I don't know, Kyle Williams buzz or like what? Like, I don't know. Just Drake May really like? I'm hoping that Drake May likes Hunter Henry. Like, and just any takeaways from the offense in general outside of Travion? Drake May, too. I mean, I'm interested in Drake May because it's all it takes to get you interested in Drake May is just to go look. And you can just look at his game log and just look at his rushing lines from last season.
Mm-hmm. So I'm actually, the more the offseason, the more training camp has gone on, I've soured on most of the players not named Travion Henderson in this offense. And it really kind of started day one. The report from camp was all they ran was checkdowns and screens. They are hitting the factory reset button on Drake May. And I don't know if they let him run. The buzz from camp and when you watch practices, he's not being told to run unless he has to. And I don't think he'll run unless he has to. The McDaniels offense has always catered to the checkdown. in this training camp, even though the rumor was this is going to be a revamped offense that's built more for the Drake May skill set, it seems like the combination of Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels want checkdowns. They want game management. I mean, I don't think Drake May threw a pick until the first joint practice, until that Commanders one I went to. And even then he threw one. And I don't think that's because he was pinpoint accurate. I think it was the buzz, the game plans have clearly been, we're going to run the living hell out of it. And we just want to pitter patter. We don't want to get too crazy. So when I think of Drake May, two comparisons have kind of really resonated the most. One, I'm thinking back to Ryan Tannehill when he had that big year with Arthur Smith and Mike Vrabel as the head coach. It was a very conservative offense, very managed game managing type stuff. He had 40 total touchdowns, guys. Ryan Tannehill that year, I did not remember him. He had 33 passing touchdowns and 7 on the ground. Hmm. That type of touchdown, you know, output seems unlikely for a team that's going to try to win with defense and running the ball. Which leads me to my second comparison, which is last year's Chargers offense. Last year, or 2 years ago, the Chargers, their program was in complete disarray. They brought in a program builder in Jim Harbaugh. The Patriots are doing the exact same thing. And typically with this type of offense and these type of players, I think Drake May and Justin Herbert's a pretty apt comparison skill-wise. When Harbaugh took over, he said, we're not gonna ask Justin Herbert to play Superman 100% of the time like he has in the past. We want him to be Clark Kent 75% of the time. And when we need him to don the red cape for that other 25, that's what we want. And it led them to, 10 wins, making a run, going to the playoffs, like being a team that was a professional outfit, a real program. That seems to be the blueprint for me, for this Patriots team, if they're going to have success. So as a Pats fan, you know, I got the Wilfork jersey back there. I'm happy. I'm excited. I think they will contend. But for fantasy purposes, I think we're going to look at a lot of slow football games, good defense, and a lot of running the football. The offensive line looked way better when I was there when they ran the football as opposed to pass blocking. So I'm just kind of cooled on it. And Drake May right now, I have him at ranked at QB 16. I think he can have, you know, he could push top 12. But it's going to take a lot of touchdowns, in my opinion. So I've kind of soured on Drake May, not long-term, because I think that this year is going to be the platform that they build where he can really start to take off in similar, you know, fashion to a Josh Allen, you know, divisional rival. You brought up Kyle Williams. Kyle Williams, to me, has been the biggest disconnect between what I see and what they're giving to him. He looks good. He's winning downfield. Like, he looks like the player they drafted. He's just not getting a lot of run with the ones. He's just not out there as much as I'd want. And
I'm not that surprised,
it's not. And they're starting to weed out the, you know, Jalen Polk has now been on season ending IR. Javon Baker's on the bubble. So there, you were going to start to see it shit take more shape. But right now, you brought up Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry is he's all reliable, baby. I mean, he is just always there when they need him most. Could he have double-digit touchdown upside? Potentially. I mean, he's the quintessential late-round tight end because I think this offense is going to be very laid back. It's not going to be gunslinger. It's going to be a lot of under center. It's going to be a lot of weird looks, a lot of kind of distraction-type run plays designed to help the young offensive line, to help a young Drake May and, you know, accentuate the playmaking ability of Travion Henderson. I like Ramondre Stevenson, you know, kind of later in drafts because – The key to success will be
somebody has a question Montgomery role. That. Someone has a question. He says, how does Matty feel about Ramondre for 0/hero RB builds? So
he's kind of right in that middle tier. You know, he's not my elite tier of in terms of the zero RB approach or grabbing one right at the beginning. But he's in the thick of it. If he's there and you're talking between, let me check my rankings here, just kind of see where I'm looking at with Ramondre. Like if you've kind of lost some of the upside backups, the guys like Charbonnet, Braylon Allen, he's kind of right up after that for me because I think he's going to have a role early. He's going to have a role often. It's just the volume won't be there. And we all know about Ramondre. He's not the best athlete. He's going to need volume and high value touches to be a consistent producer. So in a zero RB or hero RB, I want to chase a little bit more upside where we've seen what the upside is with Ramondre. Even if Travion gets hurt, it's going to be probably splitting a backfield with Antonio Gibson.
All right. So, Trashman, I'm sure you have some questions about what he saw from the Washington side. There's somebody asking about Diggs. Let's just clear out some of these questions here with Maddie, and then we'll ask Maddie about that and get him out of here to enjoy his Saturday. Do you have any drafts tonight, Maddie?
No drafts. My big draft weekend has always been Labor Day weekend. I end up having 4 drafts Labor Day weekend.
All right. So there was a question here. So poker, what is this? Show the draft board with picks. Poker, we're going to do some simulations here in a little while. But while we got Maddie, we want to talk about some of the stuff you saw at camp. Miles Young says, should I trade Puka for Drake London and Chuba Hubbard, thin at RB but deep at wide receiver? Well, I certainly would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not mad about that.
Yeah. I'm just run to accept that thing. okay, Ball is Life. He already asked you about this one. Brian Seven, what's stopping Bucky from putting up Achan/Jenty numbers? We don't know what Jenty numbers are at this point exactly, but from what I've seen of Ashton Jenty in his second preseason outing, I'm just like, I talked about it on the show yesterday. I think that his 1,049.5 rushing yard over under right now, as far as the season long props, is just, I hate taking overs, but I love the over for that. And I love the over for the 3.5, 100+ rushing yard games. I think that you just look up and he's gone through like a series and a half, and they're not even through a quarter of the game, and he's ripped off a few good runs, and you look at the stat line, he's got like 38 yards already. And if this happens for a full game, this guy's going to – he's something different. So
But what's stopping Bucky from putting up Achan/Jenty numbers? It's Rashad White.
It's his size. It's possibly his durability. He's certainly on a great offense. He's a great player.
No, I love Bucky. I would love for nothing. I'd love nothing else than for Bucky to put up those kind of numbers. But they still like Rashad White. You know, he's going to get touches in that offense.
We have somebody. So Kip C was asking earlier about, speaking of these rookies, how many is too many? I ended up with Henderson, Big Bill, Blue. Yeah, that one stings. Burden almost had a chance at Quinshon. Dude, I mean, I'm happy coming out of drafts with, like, if I get my RB1 and my RB2 could be Ashton Jenty and Travion Henderson. I could have my RB3 be RJ Harvey. And then I'd be very happy later in the draft to get Emeka Egbuka and Matthew Golden. And then maybe some kind of late round, Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt, or if it's late, like a Dylan Sampson, or so I don't know, like 6 or 7 is probably too many.
You could have a lot in this class.
Let me
post this to you guys. So I tweeted this out yesterday. What, like, how do you think this team would look in a casual, you know, redraft? So shallow team. If you had Cam Ward, you took him in the last round. Jinty in the first. Hampton in the second. Tet McMillan in the fourth, Travis Hunter in the fifth, Tyler Warren in the ninth, Travion in the third, Egbuka in the seventh, your bench is Harvey in the sixth, Judkins in the eighth. That's an all-rookie team, and it seems all right to me.
I kind of like that team.
It's kind of a good team. You know?
I forgot all about Tet. Like, Tet is certainly – like, yeah. I love Tet, even as a – like, sometimes if you get into a spot, like, as a wide receiver too.
As far as running backs go, I think – I'm happy to have rookies. Those rookies that you mentioned, wide receiver. I feel a little bit shaky, going into the season with that lineup. But wide receiver is the one position where you can kind of make it up, off the waiver wire a lot of the times, more than those other positions.
All right, just another quick thing. Okay, so as a pro subscriber, where's the best place on the site to ask sit start questions? This is a very good thing to ask. Because when you get the cheat sheet, you get a pro membership at Roster Watch. And so this is important for people to hear. It's like, this goes on into the season. We're not just helping you with your draft. We're helping you to actually, like, answer your questions, your sit starts. If you have a sit start that needs to be answered on a Thursday before the Thursday games, ask inside Trash Man's Flex Rankings, post. It'll be a pinned post. It comes out on Thursdays. And that is a pro post for pro members only. Look for posts that are for pro members only, okay? If you need it on Thursday. If you need it coming into the games on Sunday, every Sunday morning we have a live sit-start thread that's for pro members only, and every question gets answered by either me, Trashman, or Cody. So that's where you do it. Thursdays, do it during Trashman's Flex Rankings, And then Sundays, do it during the live sit start thread. I usually kick that thing up right after I get home from church, and I go to early church. So it's like probably around like 9 central. So it's like 3 hours of Sunday morning leading up into lock. All right. And then just quickly, Maddie, do you have a thought on this? Is Kelsey worth the pick this year? Wait a bit for Ingram. I think that both can be fine as long as they follow a good value. But I tend to be a guy that waits a little bit longer for the Tyler Warrens, the Tucker Crafts, the Hunter Henrys, the Kyle Pitts's. I don't know if you have a thought about tight end.
I've top three or wait. You know, if I can get value on Brock, value on McBride, Kittle, I'm okay with it. After that, I'm with you. I'm waiting. So in terms of Kelsey or Ingram, whichever one goes later, if you got some Swifties in your league, so that means Kelsey's going to be bumped up some ADP, then wait for Ingram. I'm okay with that.
This is one more interesting question. I think you might be on mute, Trash Man. In round two, are you on board with backs being better than the wide receivers being taken according to ADP? I think round two is just a party for running backs. I really think that the round two running backs are very, very good. I think that there are good wide receivers there too, but I just think that, you know, if you can just look at the ADP and just look at the running backs that are there through round two. And it's like, you know, you got Jonathan Taylor going in the late second round, mm-hmm. you know, you, like, I guess now Chase Brown now is officially going sooner than Jonathan Taylor. But then you got Josh Jacobs, who's just in to totally smash. The one thing that's kind of, to me, Maddie and Trash Man, kind of soured my taste a little bit on round two running backs is I'm just now just totally not out, but I'm just very, very scared about Devon Achane with this calf thing.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, sure. Yeah. All right.
I was just going to say real quick with Kelsey, I think Worthy's going to get some of those stretch plays that Kelsey has gotten in the past historically in that offense come this season. So that makes me a little less bullish on Kelsey early in drafts.
Maddie, anything on the Commanders that you've noticed? Anything, or did you notice anything about Bill Kroski Merritt? Did he look good to you out there with your own eyes, or was that even a focus of yours whenever you were out there?
It was a little bit tougher to see the Commanders because obviously they allow like the Patriots offense is like the main attraction. Pat's defense is off against the Commanders defense on the far field. No. But I did look over. I don't know if Bill really stood out from an athletic standpoint. I mean, like when you watch Travion, if you came from Mars and watched football for the first time, you saw that human being, you'd be like, that guy, he's fat. He just teleports. I didn't notice anything that athletically, again, from a distance, but what I did.
He's a grinder.
But what I noticed though is in terms of his style, kind of that one cut, but quick, a lot more foot quickness than a Brian Robinson is going to suit the offense. It's going to suit Cliff Kingsbury a lot more than Brian Robinson.
All right. Well, there you go. Maddie, tell them where they can find all your work. Tell them where they can find you on X, all the rest of it, man. We'll let you get back to your day.
So you can find me on X at Maddie Kiwoom. Once a week, I do a show with your guys, you know, the friend of Roster Watcher and many others, Cody Carpentier, every Tuesday on the Draft Rankings Network. You can find me doing a couple shows at Player Profile, the Future Cast, Blue Chips. Going to be doing a lot of NFL draft coverage for Player Profile this year. Back on the road and with you, Alex. I'm very excited for that.
It's nothing like having Maddie on the road, man.
We're back. It was 1 year hiatus. Yeah. I'll never do it again. Piece of my heart was missing all offseason. So I'm back on the road. Back to doing all those things. I'm very excited there. And then, of course, South Harmon. Get the Warp Tool, SouthHarmonFF.com. Get all that good stuff over there.
All right. Maddie, love you,
thanks,
brother.
Thanks, Maddie.
I cannot
see you guys. Love you guys.
All right, man. Peace. All right, there he is, Maddie Kiwoom. Thanks so much to Maddie for coming on. I think Byron is going to come on at some point, too. Let's go ahead and, while we're here, Trash Man, show these people how some of these simulations are running over on the site. Cody got one of his updated to let's see. Cody got one of his updated for standard and 0.5 PPR. And I'm going to run this one first because it's one that I'm not exactly comfortable. That, you know, I'm just gonna make myself most uncomfortable first. Let's see, how do I make us bigger?
I like how it says we're both trash men right now.
I don't ever change the name because I don't feel like I need to. All right. So again, this is the ultimate draft cheat sheet at rosterwatch.com. Follow the three simple rules at the top of the sheet of paper. An expert quality draft is always guaranteed. I see that Byron's joined, so we'll get Byron on here in just 1 second. As soon as we get done running this simulation, but yeah, today's the day to go download the ultimate draft cheat sheet. Today is fantasy football national draft day. We need to have a big day here, making sure that we get a bunch of new people signed up, a bunch of new winning members of Roster Watch Nation. So we would appreciate you guys this weekend going over there and getting those pro memberships if you've been thinking about it. Let's see how Cody's sheet is running. I don't even know what they gave us here. They gave us the 5 pick. This is a 12-team league. It's set up for 1 quarterback, 2 running backs, 2 wide receivers, a tight end, 2 flex, defense, kicker, and then 6 bench spots. Cody's cheat sheet here. This is standard 0.5 PPR. We're going to take CeeDee Lamb here to start. We don't have a choice of the 208. We're going to take Jonathan Taylor. We have a choice here between Travion Henderson and JSN. Trashman, I kind of want to take JSN here.
You do?
Yeah. I think Travion might fall.
Okay.
In these. Let's just see, okay?
Yeah.
I'm worried he might not fall. He'll fall. Let's
take in real life, I don't know. If he's yeah.
Okay, so he did not fall. So now you're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. It's a fine pick. This thing's looking like it's turning out pretty good. David Montgomery. So we have 3 wide receivers: CeeDee Lamb, JSN, Marvin Harrison. So Jonathan Taylor, David Montgomery here, and then Xavier Worthy at the 608. Love that. So starting wide receivers of CeeDee Lamb, JSN, Marvin Harrison, and Xavier Worthy in the flex with JT and DeMont to start.
I still feel with this depth receiver we're getting, Travion would have been
It could have been. I don't want to make Cody's sheet look bad, but maybe that could have been user error. Emeka Egbuka here. So yeah, it's like, let's see. If Cody's built this thing right, it's going to bring us, it's going to get us some running back depth here pretty soon. There we go. Well, ETN, we're about to ask Cody about ETN. Byron about ETN. We went Emeka Egbuka, Travis ETN here in the 8th round. All right. At the 905, we don't have a choice. It wants to take Kelsey. So I don't mind taking Kelsey. This is about where you can take Kelsey. I think it's fine. So Kelsey here. A little bit more running back depth, which I've never gotten Tyjae Spears using the PPR sheet. Do you like Tyjae Spears, Trashman?
Right now?
10-11 turn, a little bit banged up.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I mean, I feel more excited about a player like right here, like an Njoku, or even though
we already have Nelson.
It's not a sexy.
You don't have a choice.
It's not a sexy pick, but I think it would be fine.
I can't explain it because I didn't make this cheat sheet. So, but I'm going to take him. We'll see how things go. And look, your boy Njoku fell. So if Kelsey's completely dust, we'll get Njoku here in the 11th round. Let's see here, and then Trey Benson, we can get him in the 12th. So looks like we made up the running back. This is definitely more of a wide receiver heavy team. But we definitely made up for it here coming down the stretch. Trey Benson, we're going to get our quarterback here at the 1305 with Dak Prescott. So we do have a Dak Prescott kind of CeeDee Lamb stack built in here. And then with the final pick, we'll take Ollie Gordon, our guy. So a lot of running backs. We filled up the depth. This team is Dak Prescott. The running backs are Jonathan Taylor, David Montgomery, Travis Etienne, Tyjae Spears, Trey Benson, Ollie Gordon. We only have to start 2 of them, so I feel good about it. The wide receivers I feel best about: CeeDee Lamb, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Marvin Harrison, Xavier Worthy, Emeka Egbuka, and we have 2 tight ends: Travis Kelce and David Njoku. I know that the simulator is probably not going to give us the best grade here, because it's just not been giving good grades to good teams. It doesn't like Jonathan Taylor at all. But we'll see what it says. if this isn't a B plus, at least I'm going to jump up. Oh my God, a 97. Okay. So maybe it's feeling nicer today. So good job to Cody there. That's the standard and a half point PPR sheet. Again, feels nice to get in 97, but like we've been saying this whole time, you can't depend on these idiotic grades. Let's see about bringing Byron on if we can get him. Just Byron, are you there? Are you there, Byron? Okay. Well,
yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Hopefully I got a little better reception this time, boys.
Yeah. All right. How are you, brother?
Just cooking up a couple of clever tricks to play on you guys tonight in our home league,
man. I thought you were going to say you're cooking up some fish or something. That I'd be more excited about that.
Well, he probably – here's the thing about Byron. He goes out on the water – like the water is so close to his house that the fish is so fresh that he kind of doesn't have to cook it.
It's just sushi grade.
He just eats a lot of it raw, or uses the limes to cook it like they do in ceviche.
You know, that's actually the best use for the Spanish mackerel, a fish that a lot of people don't really want to eat.
You eat Spanish mac?
Oh, but it's a great ceviche fish. I don't prefer it cooked. I mean, it's not bad cooked, but it's unremarkable.
Do you just go out there and run those gotcha lures with that cockamamie underhand motion?
Man, you know, when those Spanish are running in the fall, they're ravenous. So you can throw anything out there.
Yeah,
you just got to have a little bit of a long shank hook or a little leader on there, so those big old teeth in there, they don't cut through it. But
I'm gonna have to get back out there.
Yeah, there's plenty of fish.
All this cooking. Fish talk. I'm gonna have to get back out there.
Well, you know, there's a big extended red snapper season that's open this year for the entire fall season. So I was actually just thinking it'd be fun to get you boys out here for that, get a nice meal.
Oh, that'd be good too, because we'll get back to the fantasy stuff. But I did get the email from the Alabama Fish and Game Department, something about this being like a robust salmon or a robust red snapper year, where they were leaving the season open a little bit longer or whatever. So that's good to hear whatever's going on with those snapper, man. We got to make sure we keep those, because they are delicious. Really quick from John in Cedar Park. He said, are you doing the DFS show on Saturdays again this season? Yes. For our pro members at Roster Watch, the Blitz is coming back with me, Derek Cardi, and Chief. I think Chief, but certainly me and Chief will still be on, but certainly me and Cardi doing the DFS stuff through the Blitz projection system that Cardi's cooked up. But that's on Fridays now. So, but that's only for pro members at rosterwatch.com or pro members over at Roto Grinders. And certainly a pro membership at Roster Watch is about 20 times cheaper than one at Roto Grinders. So that'll still be available to you guys.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
All right, Byron, you got cut off a little bit the other day. People can listen back to the show from the Thursday, but can you just give any, like, high-level insights that you took away from the Jags and the Dolphins practice? I know you mentioned that you came away feeling higher about Travis Etienne. You thought BTJ looked like a beast. No Travis Hunter at these practices. No Tyreek Hill at these practices. Came away impressed with Ollie Gordon. Now Ollie Gordon has a little bit of a runway with Jalen Wright a little bit banged up. We're starting to get him, as you've seen, at the end of these drafts as a possible goal line guy. Anything else that you wanted to kind of point out about that? Because I also wanted to ask you about what you saw when you got to see, I believe, the Bucs and the Titans.
Well, definitely the things that stood out to me were ETN running first in the rotations and looking like a relatively nice, you know, flex player that you can get in that eighth round area of your draft. He's certainly on sort of my target list at this point. And I think Bigsby, you know, a couple rounds behind him is not a bad option either. I mean, clearly a timeshare, but certainly saw Etienne involved in red zone activities and was, you know, definitely the prominent player when it, in terms of pass, you know, catching passes and the receiving area of the game, which, you know, obviously we're pretty interested in that piece when it comes to fantasy. And then just generally, I mean, I don't think it's a big surprise. Like, he looks the best the way he moves around out on the football field. That said, like, pretty clearly a timeshare, and, you know, Bigsby, you know, is obviously a player they like. So I think if, you know, you're getting him in round 10 or whatever, both of those guys are solid draft values and I think should be sort of on the target list for all of our followers and subscribers and pro members at rosterwatch.com. Your boy, who's it? Tootin? What is it? Basil Tootin? How do you say that guy?
Basil.
Basil Tootin. I mean, he was clearly the number three guy. And I left thinking, hey, like, he wasn't really somebody that just popped off the field. He looked competent out there and he certainly made some plays catching the football, but he just looked far enough down the totem pole that I left thinking, all right, like, I don't have any interest in this guy in fantasy, at least in my drafts. I mean, if there's an injury, he certainly could be on the waiver wire cheat sheet at any point this season if Bigsby or Etienne were to get hurt. But yeah, I left thinking we have good value late in our drafts at the top end of the running back depth chart for the Jaguars. You kind of think about it too. Is it Liam Cohen? I mean, he comes over from Tampa Bay, where you kind of saw what he did with Rashad White and Bucky Irving. These are dudes who like to, you know, catch the football. And that's another little correlation I have there towards what, you know, may be going on with Etienne seemingly trending a little bit up there in Jacksonville over the course of training camp and the off season. Yeah, unfortunately, you know, no Travis Hunter, which we were absolutely dying to see him matched up against some NFL players and some live NFL action. It never fails. You go to these things and there's always one of these dudes you really want to see that's missing. That said, you know, got a great look at Brian Thomas Jr. And the guy's a freak, man. He's big, silky smooth, fast, explosive, like run after the catch. Also a red zone guy, clear connection and chemistry there with Trevor Lawrence. So, you know, I think you sort of wonder, especially I would have loved to have seen what it looked like with Travis Hunter out there and sort of how those targets were distributed. I obviously saw a funnel straight to Brian Thomas in this particular practice. So you would have loved to have an honest look at it like that. But I think when you just sort of consider that Hunter's a rookie, he is going to be playing snaps on the defensive side of the ball, like obvious chemistry with Trevor Lawrence, big rookie season for BTJ, and just a player that looks relatively sick. I think, you know, he maybe not a household name yet, so I could see sort of the, you know, normal fantasy player scratching their head a little bit when they see that name come up, like high round two or whatever it is in their drafts. But I could tell you right now, like, you should be comfortable selecting Brian Thomas Jr. at value in your drafts this weekend or next weekend. And then I think just in terms of understanding the construction of the Jaguars offense, we do need to mention that D'Ami Brown is like clearly the wide receiver three on that team. And I don't know how fantasy relevant that is, but sort of just football and roster relevant, I think at sort of a macro level.
Could be DFS relevant.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, so it could be, I guarantee you he's 3,500 for week one. All right. And then just
And by the way, still not blown away with Trevor Lawrence. You know, he just
really
he's got the weapons and he's got like the physical tools. So
does it look like he has the time?
Yeah. Did you hear his question?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really see the. That'd be interesting to. He threw a couple of picks. It'd be interesting to go back and watch the all 22 and see if that was pressure related. I mean, it's a good question, Trash Man. I would want to rely on probably on our offensive line rankings there. That said, nothing stood out to me that he was like under siege during the course of practice. So maybe I'll kind of like say sort of like neutral on that front, but he did throw a couple, I would say, pretty bad interceptions. I mean, he obviously made some nice plays as well you're not blown away at what Trevor Lawrence has become, you know, considering all the hype.
All right. Well, Byron. Oh God. Yeah. And then like biggest, you don't have to, you've already done some videos about it just on our YouTube page, but just for anybody that didn't see him, just your biggest takeaways from seeing the Bucks last week.
Yeah, well, the cool thing about the Bucks is I got to see him twice, and I got to see him both two practices post August 1st in pads, but like a week or 10 days apart. You know, the training camp sort of evolves, right? So it's kind of cool to get a check, you know, early camp, mid camp. And, you know, I think a lot of it's underwater under the bridge that has sort of kind of come to an equilibrium on the fantasy landscape as it relates to Tampa. But to me, it is a fun situation to talk about. So, I mean, very clearly Mike Evans, the lead dominant persona and number one wide receiver on that team, not necessarily breaking news, but I think when we're looking at how we are going to value the rest of that wide receiver depth chart, you do keep in mind that they have a clearly dominant alpha number one. I'm still just beyond impressed at how good Mike Evans, last year was the first year I didn't go to Bucks camp in several years. And, you know, Alex, you and I went to the Johnny, we went to his pro day. What was that? 2014, I think is what it was. And yeah. So we've scouted this guy maniacally, and really I'm impressed, man. He looks like the same dude. I mean, he had a couple of uncharacteristic drops out there. I think it was sort of a concentration thing, but he moves well. He looks like the same guy. He demands the same attention, same just focal point of the offense, big play, just does it all, really. Just beyond impressive. Mike Evans still looks the way that he does. So, you know, last year I was a little unsure about him as he's aging. And then you come this year off of a big season, you're thinking, man, I got to expend some real capital to get Mike Evans. Do I really like that on this type of aging wide receiver? But I think you can safely say, you know, Evans, he's not presenting a lot of value in drafts, but he's a solid pick and he still looks really good and clear focal point.
You can get him in the fourth round, but Byron. And I mean, it's like, I don't know if that's where his ADP officially is settled, but I know that that's where I'm constantly getting him there in simulations. His actual ADP is 36. So end of the third, beginning of fourth. And for me, what made me interested in him and why we're getting him is like, it was the news. People act like it's good news that Chris Godwin, they're saying that they're letting him start to come back and work back in. But then on the second part of that is that with Godwin is that that's in hopes that he'll be ready to go by sometime in October. And Jalen McMillan is now out for the season. I'm just like, what else are they going to do this year besides, like, it's great for, and everybody's like, oh, you know, wheels up for Egbuka. And I'm just like, well, what about wheels up for Mike Evans? You know what I mean?
It really is. And look, who's the tight end? Is it Cameron Brait? Kate Otten. Yeah, he was not present. I don't know what his status is now, but he was not present at all that first week and a half post August 1st. He wasn't available at any of the practices I attended. So a lot of arrows pointing to Mike Evans still being sort of the cornerstone of that offense. To me, it is a super interesting conversation to talk about the rest of the wide receiver room. And like I said, I think it sort of has come to equilibrium now. A lot of it's under the bridge, but I really could have nitpicked the market valuations on these guys a couple weeks ago. And here's why. Like a couple weeks ago, there was the Egbuka hype already existed. It was a good prospect, right? So, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you had a situation where Godwin was, ADP round 7, early round 8. Egbuka had already crept into like round 9 and, you know, maybe even like late round 8. And then the other thing to keep in mind is the team is high on Jalen McMillan. So I didn't go to camp last year for the first time in a long time in Tampa. I was out in the camps in California, but like apparently Jalen McMillan was one of the stars of camp last year. He then had a really slow start to the season, sort of, I think, needed to put on some size and strength and just kind of get his sea legs and acclimate to the NFL, a little bit of a of a slimmer cut guy. But then if you remember, he finished the season with 7 touchdowns in the last 5 games or whatever it was. He really finished the season on a tear. So he had sort of had some momentum coming into this offseason. And when you go to practice, like, McMillan was very, very clearly involved, and he was making all the vertical plays down the field. So, like, when I was at practice, and this was 2 different times, the other piece of information is that Egbuka was almost strictly practicing in the Chris Godwin role. So I'm sitting here kind of deconstructing all this, like, while I'm at practice, and I'm saying to myself, okay, there's no way somebody's overvalued. Chris Godwin can't be around 7-8 ADP and Egbuka be around 8-9 ADP. And, like, both of these dudes are going to return value. Like, if you're in on Egbuka, it's because you believe Godwin has a risk of missing, like, more time. So, you know, think about this. Let's, and the inside scoop when I was there is they expect Godwin back between week 3 and 5, which I think is sort of still the narrative, but it's come out that that injury was pretty nasty. Mm-hmm. And we've seen a declining Godwin ADP, which I think has sort of rectified the accounting on this situation at this point. That said, I think Egbuka has now risen to a point where, like, he offers no value. I think he's a fine pick because he's a good player. And I actually think a lot of people are going to be scared to start him early because, like, week 1, because he's a rookie and not a household name. But I actually, like, you can start that dude week 1. You actually need to start him right out of the gate, I think, to return value on where you're drafting him at this point.
Especially versus Atlanta. I think they have Atlanta week 1, right? I think so. I could be wrong about that. I think that they start out with in division, but I need to check.
So I was looking at this thing saying, okay, wait a second here. You got Evans as the clear dominant number 1. You got Godwin, they're saying, it's coming back, like, you know, after the first month or so of the season. Egbuka has been practicing almost strictly in the Godwin role. So when Godwin comes out, look, we know Egbuka's versatile and he can be moved around clearly, but, like, McMillan is really pretty locked in at that outside spot and playing very, very well. So you're sitting here saying, okay, when Godwin returns, what's going to happen here? You're going to have Evans as the lead number 1, and then you're going to have some kind of cannibalization between, you know, they're not putting McMillan straight on the bench. He's going to play. So now you got 3 cannibalistic situations. But see,
that was the way that, right. That's the way that you were seeing it, because that's the way you were seeing it with McMillan. But McMillan has since
gone out. That's what I mean. This thing is sort of like in a twist of, I don't know, it's not serendipitous for McMillan, but it has sort of worked out in retrospect. So you kind of, like, slide McMillan out of the picture.
So you're saying that these initial weird kind of valuations and stuff, you were like, this doesn't make any sense, but somehow they were bailed out by like, to where they're actually kind of okay now. Is that what you're saying?
It did not make Egbuka or Godwin were overvalued a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Now with the injury to McMillan and with the deteriorating ADP for Godwin, I think it sort of has all started to make sense. That said, I do not think there's a ton of value on Egbuka. I think that said, he's a good enough talent. If Godwin were to be out any longer than expected, like, that would be a boon. I do think you can start him right out of the gate, which you will need to if you draft him in round 7 or whatnot. You know, he's a nice player. So it's just been interesting to watch that unfold, but I certainly think those dudes were overvalued a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I think the other thing to keep in mind, and, you know, Bucky Irving clearly looks awesome. They do intend to continue keeping Rashad White pretty involved. Now, he's had the groin injury. I don't think it was too significant, but that sort of, you know, took a little bit of the sting off of that if you were looking at Bucky there for a while. But from what I saw, like, Bucky Irving's still a very nice fantasy pick, and he's going to be very good. But Rashad White, if you were hoping Rashad White was going to kind of fade into the sunset, he's not. Like, and he's involved in the receiving game. He's going to play. So he sort of does, I think, cut into the theoretical upside of Bucky Irving. And I'm not sure that changes our draft boards a lot, but I think it's just something to be mindful of when you're sort of setting expectations. And I think it sort of does mean that potentially Rashad White, if you were to get him at, like, the very late rounds of your draft, has some flex capabilities.
Yeah, I think if you're going to be able to get value on any one of those Tampa Bay players, it's probably going to be Rashad White, especially it with McMillan out. There's targets there.
I think Evans has become a value. No one likes Mike Evans. They think he's too old.
No, I mean, I love Mike Evans, but I mean, but like some of those targets that McMillan would potentially have got are going to go to Rashad White. I mean, it's going to be some.
You gotta let me talk Titans and Dolphins for a minute here. I gotta get this stuff off my chest, boys.
All right, get it off.
So Titans, very, very sort of interesting. I mean, first Cam Ward, he looks like a good prospect, not a super elite prospect. I think that sort of aligns with what is, you know, the NFL draft profile was. It's like, hey, this isn't. Troy Aikman or Peyton Manning, right? Like this is more of these, one of these guys that's a good prospect that's got pushed to number one because of sort of the landscape of, you know, the positional talent in this particular draft. So Cam Ward, good, look good. I mean, I certainly felt optimistic for the Titans. He looks like he's got a good head on his shoulders, looked competent, looked like he belonged, did not look uncomfortable, didn't look rushed, like all the things you sort of expected from his draft profile. Like this is a poised, experienced, polished guy. Yes. And I think the tools were there, the athletic tools were there to boot too. Like he's a pass first dude, but he's got some mobility. And you know, it's not a howitzer of an arm, but he's got a nice live arm, certainly can fit it into, was like putting it into some tight spots. Threw a couple of bad interceptions that really, I don't think, if I had to guess, are not really a commentary on his natural accuracy. I think it was more related to like just timing and rhythm, which, you know, you'd sort of expect as a rookie, like maybe that's not there yet. And we all know that that can sort of trickle to the accuracy. So I kind of thought my overarching, I said, okay, I'm optimistic for the Titans. I think they got a nice player here they can feel sort of good about. That said, this looks like it's going to be a inconsistent, probably not prolific offense, and we need to take that into account when we're sort of weighing and measuring the rest of the fantasy assets on the Titans roster. So, you know, a couple other things that stood out, as you would expect. Now, again, this is a little bit of a situation where he got injured and maybe it's changed the ADPs a little bit. I'm not sure, but as you would expect, and I rostered Tony Pollard last year. He was a decent player to have in fantasy last year. As you would expect, Tajay Spears was more involved this year. It was very clear. Involved in just generally more involved, definitely more involved with his terms of pass catching, and then even down like in the red zone, quite a bit of usage, sort of like I saw at ETN or, you know, even you see with the Lions. I mean, somehow Jahmyr Gibbs, you wouldn't expect him to be – he's not a goal line guy, but they love putting him in at the red zone. I'm not trying to compare these two, but that's sort of a thing, I think, in the NFL right now is having these little versatile pass catchers – more involved maybe traditionally in the red zone than we used to maybe imagine. So I said, okay, we got to take this into account for Tony Pollard. This is a team that's not going to be playing with the lead. These guys are going to be playing from behind. It's not a great offense. Spears is more involved. Like we have to treat Tony Pollard as a flex player. That's the sober, responsible way to deal with Tony Pollard. Does he have some like RB2 upside? I think so. I don't think it's top end RB2. I think it's probably like middling or bottomish RB2, which it's a lot of times is, you know, doesn't stand out that much from the rest of your flex players. So I think you sort of got to value Tony Pollard as a flex. And if you get more out of him, like a flex with upside, if you get more out of him, great, but I think that's the responsible and prudent way to deal with Tony Pollard. And then, you know, when you turn to the other side of the receivers, you got Van Jefferson, you got Lockett. They're clearly kind of giving Lockett the veteran treatment out there. He was taking very limited snaps. They had a couple of the – who was it? Eric A is the last name.
Elik Iamanner.
Yeah, he was showing out a little bit, and certainly you could see like he's a player that team is interested in seeing what they have with there, and he was sort of coming in for he was soaking up a lot of the reps that Lockett was kind of sitting out, just as in terms of like veteran rest. And Van Jefferson, very, very involved. So what that lent itself to was Calvin Ridley, unsurprisingly, far and away the lead receiver and target on that team with a pretty competent rookie quarterback on a team that I think is going to be playing from behind. So I said, okay, Ridley I like a little more than Pollard. Like, those are the only two guys you're interested here, Pollard and Ridley. I like Ridley a little bit more. I think he's really the guy you want from the Titans offense if you can get one. That said, I think that still, like, if you can, the way you really want to view Ridley is I think he probably is a wide receiver too. I think he probably is, but I'd really love to value him as a flex and sort of draft him that way as well. So I kind of loved, you know, I was complimenting, I heard you guys running simulations with Cody's half point PPR standard ultimate draft cheat sheet before I came in. And I got, you know, I went through that thing with a fine tooth comb last night and was really, really impressed with it. You know, we always say it is architecture and it's a lot of science, but it's got a touch of art to it as well. And little things like, you know, as far as the version last night, he kind of had Pollard and Ridley in a very situated, very similarly on the sheet. And I said, like, that's a beautiful artistic decision point on the sheet. Like, that's the way, you know, this should be. So that's, I'd say that's a responsible way to look at how you want to deal with the assets on the Titans fantasy side of things.
And then you said you wanted to get some Dolphins thoughts off your chest before you bang out.
Yeah, Dolphins thoughts. I thought the one thing I did say last night when I was messaging with you guys, I think we were a little too low on Jaylen Waddle. And I get it. Tyreek Hill is going to be, you know, present and back in the mix. So I don't want to make too much out of what I saw in one practice sends Tyreek Hill. But if you sort of add up everything else you've been hearing this offseason, between the fact that Waddle is having a nice camp, there's some issues there between with the chemistry and the teammates and just the vibe there with Tyreek Hill. And I've seen the Dolphins in camp before with this cast of characters, actually in joint practices with Bucks 2 years ago. So I've seen all these dudes. I mean, Waddle's an exciting, you know, athletic looking guy, but this time he looked like he had a hydrogen bond with Tua. I mean, that the chemistry, the bond, like it, you could tell that chemistry has gone to another level. And like, that was Tua's really go-to guy. So like, pretty impressed with Waddle. And I think where you can get him in drafts, like, really represents a nice value. So like, definitely we need to be interested in Waddle. You did see Darren Waller still on the sidelines. I mean, he looks like he might be the best tight end that they're going to have, but he's sort of a slow integration there.
Yeah.
With Darren Waller. And then like, I think the last piece of it is, you know, you guys mentioned it. I mean, we're, it's not just us. The industry hype is surging on Ollie Gordon right now, but like really for a good reason. I mean, you got Achan with the calf injury. They say it's a grade one, which is not too worrisome, but you still worry about that a little bit. And, you know, just his kind of his size. Right. And I could kind of, Jalen Wright is like a decent looking dude, like his build, and he caught passes pretty well, but he just doesn't stand out. He's sort of like, I feel like he's in no man's land. Like he's just a medium sized running back. You know, he's not small and quick like Achan, but he's not really big and sturdy like Ollie Gordon. So, you know, and then Jaylen Wright gets sort of hurt at the end of practice after Ollie Gordon just has looked like, I mean, just damn good. I mean, really, I mean, I've seen how many of these practices I've been to, 100 practices around the league. Like,
probably.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't stand out like a Christian McCaffrey or a Todd Gurley or one of these dudes, but like you watch practice and you're like, okay, this guy looks like a pretty legit prospect. We need to pay attention to him. I think he has a chance to sort of earn like maybe that David Montgomery type of role to Achan's Jahmyr Gibbs as the season unfolds. Like, most impressive thing about Gordon, really, I mean, he look, he's got nice burst through the hole, sheds contact really, really well. I don't think he has the most sudden feet in the world, but I think his vision is good, and he makes it work for him. But really blew me away at 6'1", 225. A, they don't have another body like that on the depth chart. They need a guy like this. He was a phenomenal pass catcher.
Oh, yeah.
Phenomenal pass catcher. So I sort of, you know, left thinking, like, Ollie Gordon is, you know, we're not the only one saying it at this point, but, like, that's real. You need to be interested in rostering him at the end of your drafts. Like, he kind of reminded me of, you know, I tried to go through the list of running backs I've seen live. Like, he's not a Derrick Henry. He's not a Christian McCaffrey. He's not a Todd Gurley. You know, you start talking about Zeke and Leonard Fournette, like, a little bit closer to those guys. But really, where I really started to get dialed in is I was like, okay, he's sort of like a Melvin Gordon, like, with better hands, like, much better hands than Melvin Gordon.
What do you think about David Johnson? That was our comp on our rookie sheet.
Well, David Johnson was a 4.4 guy. I think that's, like, they're upright. So I think you can – I didn't see that kind of speed, but the burst is there.
What about Najee?
You know, I saw a little more like Sony Michel. Now, he's 5 or 10 pounds bigger. But I said, of all the guys that I've really seen live – like, this guy Ollie Gordon slides a little more into that Sony Michel, Melvin Gordon bucket to me, which, like, you know, there's no guarantees, but those were solid fantasy players at various times. So I think that's the Dolphins might have really lucked into something here in round 6 of the NFL draft.
All right. It's Byron Lambert, co-founder at Roster Watch. You guys all know him and love him, even though you can't see him today. Byron, as our chief executive at the company, you now have the duty and the privilege of telling everybody exactly why they need to go get the ultimate draft cheat sheet at rosterwatch.com.
Listen, you just simply cannot afford to draft without it. It's like having Alex at your draft with you, Trash Man, Cody, me, all right there at the draft with you, and the sheet informs you literally who to select with every single pick in your draft. All you have to do is follow the 3 simple rules, and an expert quality draft is always guaranteed with the ultimate draft cheat sheet at rosterwatch.com.
Byron, it sounds like you've said that before. It sounds like you practiced it. Well, I think it's been downloaded over 1 million times, which is unbelievable. Byron's little invention is a little invention that could, man, but we keep on making it because it keeps on dominating. Byron, thanks so much, brother. We appreciate having you on.
God bless, boys.
We will see you around. All right. So, speaking of the cheat sheet, Trash Man, let's dial up a couple of mocks before we get out of here. Let's see. Which one is this? So, this is a PPR mock. I guess it gave us for the 11th pick, which is never that fun. But we will go with it here.
It's fun to me.
This which pick are you hoping for in our home league tonight?
I'm something early or something late. You know, yeah. I mean, like 1 through 3 or you know, 10 through 12.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, what do you do at 3? Because I know you got Bijan, Jamar at 1, 2. At 3, are you going to take Saquon?
I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do.
Okay. Here I am trying to get intel from you under the guise of helping the people. All right. So the cheat sheet gives us a choice here at the 111 after going.
If you've been paying attention, you know what I'm probably going to do. But
Bijan Robinson, Saquon Barkley, Justin Jefferson, Jameer Gibbs, CeeDee Lamb, Derrick Henry at the 107. Christian McCaffrey, Malik Nabers, Nico Collins. The 111, we have a choice between Ashton Jeanty and Amon-Ra St. Brown. I'm going to go Amon-Ra St. Brown because sometimes in this spot, Ashton Jeanty will fall, and Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Alex, you're muted.
my back. Sorry about that. Okay, so did you hear me saying that I took
You were giving your rationale about why you were taking Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Okay, so
Ashton Jeanty was going to fall.
Yeah, because I thought that Ashton Jeanty might fall. He did fall to the 202. Now we have the same thing happening here with this Jaxon Smith-Njigba Travion Henderson thing that Cody had built in with the choice here. I do think that Travion falls here, trash man. I hope so. 311, we're going to take JSN. I'm confident that Travion and this sim will be available at the 402. Yes, and he is. Yeah. So JSN, Travion right there. We're going to go ahead and take RJ Harvey. We don't have a choice at the 511. Again, I'm just doing exactly what the cheat sheet tells me to do here. It does not give me a choice between David Montgomery and George Pickens, so I'm going to go ahead and take David Montgomery. No choice between Diggs and ETN, which I might like, but I'm going to go ahead and take Stephon Diggs here. I wish we would have asked Maddie about Stephon Diggs.
You know, the only reason why I might take Pickens there, it says with Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jigba, I don't see the touchdown upside that maybe you can get from a Pickens there,
This is PPR, and the target volume for those two players is among the highest in the whole league as far as what we can project, right? At the 802, we take Travis Etienne, who Byron was just talking up here. Okay, 911, it's going to want us to take Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, which I think is fine. This is not getting out over your skis on this guy to take him as your running back, six? So we'll take that guy, and then Eckler. So we basically have that whole running back room.
It could be a headache.
But it's basically just a fade Chris Rodriguez type of thing, right? Mm-hmm. This draft a little bit low on wide receivers, so I like it here at the 11-12 turn. Hopefully it's going to let us get Christian Kirk and Marquise Brown, which I love, and that's going to help us out here as our wide receiver 4 and wide receiver 5. At the 13-11, we'll take Dak Prescott. And then at the 14-02, we'll take Kyle Pitts. So, Trash Man, do you think they're going to give us a good grade on this team? Somebody was asking, how many rookies can you take? This team has Jeanty, Travion. It's got RJ Harvey. It's got Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. So this team has 4, and I feel good about it. We'll auto draft a kicker and a defense, see what
fits. This like is low 90s.
Dude, who knows? Dude, they could give me like a 68 with the way that this thing's grading right now. But we'll auto draft a kicker defense. We'll see what it says. 92. So I think it should be higher than that.
I mean, it's right where I thought it would put us.
So that's a PPR draft. Let's run a super flex. Let's see. How about this one? So what is this? Superflex version 4.4. Oh, from the 12? Okay.
I like it.
So at the 112, it's going to have us taking Justin Jefferson. I know it feels best to take Gibbs. I'm going to get weird here, Trash Man, and make it a Trash Man.
Weird.
I'd like to start out with Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb.
I mean, it's not that weird.
You think it's going to swindle us?
No.
We start out Justin Jefferson. Oh, well, now it is. Well, Trash Man, it wants the cheat sheet says we have to take Brock Bowers at the 312. And I love taking Bowers, but I know what's going to happen with this team. This is going to be your kind of hero RB build. This is going to be a 4 RB build, maybe, right?
Yeah. Well, let's see.
Okay, but I mean, the cheat sheet says we have to do it, so we'll see what we can do with a hero RB here with Chase Brown. So Brock Bowers and Chase Brown at the 3-4 turn. Okay, I like this. So Travion Henderson and Marvin Harrison Jr. at the 4.
That saves
five,
it.
The 5-6. Oh, but look at this. It's skewing toward wide receiver again. Which I would not have expected, but
I love
these two players at the 7-8 turn, Tet McMillan and Jamison Williams.
Now, we still haven't taken a quarterback, so that's gonna squeeze us even more than we would have normally thought for running backs. But we do get at the 9-12, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, and we're going to take Emeka Egbuka. I wish there was something built in here to where I could choose between Egbuka and Javonte Williams. I might think about doing that. But at the 9-12, we'll take JCM. At the 10-01, we'll take Egbuka. I'm not going to worry about quarterback. Then that's why. At the 11-12, we take Tua and we take Stafford. At the 13-12, we take Michael Penix. And then with our final pick, we will take Roschon Johnson as our running back 4. So we only have to start 2 running backs here. But Trashman, I think we've built a super team here with the wide receivers, and I love our top 2 running backs. This team is a super flex 12 team. The quarterbacks are Tua Tagovailoa. The quarterbacks are Matthew Stafford and Michael Penix as well. For your super flex, the running backs are Chase Brown, Travion Henderson, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, and Roschon Johnson. The wide receivers are Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Marvin Harrison Jr., Ted McMillan, Jamison Williams, Emeka Egbuka. If this thing doesn't give me like a 98, I'm throwing the computer out the
97.
Auto draft a kicker and a defense. 97. let's do one more super flex, like, to where we don't go like all weird, right? With the, like, I mean, that thing ended up good, but I wanted to, like, maybe we can do one that's like, let's see what I just randomly.
Well, the thing is, and with the truth of the matter is, all our drafts are going to be a little bit weird.
Right.
You know?
So this gave us, where do we pick just now? At the 11?
12.
12? Yeah. So now we're at the 6, right in the middle. Let's see how this one goes. All right. It goes Lamar, Josh Allen, Bijan, Ja'Marr Chase, Saquon Barkley. We take, she says, take Jaden Daniels. Okay. A choice of Ashton Jeanty and Kyler. Dude, let's just go Ashton Jeanty, Kyler. Let's just lock in elite super flex.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, gosh. 306, Brian Thomas Jr. Okay. 407, Alvin Kamara. Like that so far. Any choice? No, okay. Yeah. 506, Mike Evans. 607. I have a choice here between RJ Harvey and Xavier Worthy, but I feel like I have to take Harvey.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, bang, dude. Worthy falls to 706. Trashman, we could be lighting up a monster here. Byron's favorite flex. Calvin Ridley at the 807.
Calvin Ridley at a flex. Who would have thought?
Not even a flex. How can you get him into your flex? It's going to be hard over Xavier Worthy. Or this next pick, Travis Etienne, the 906. Gosh, I love getting Ricky Pearsall here at the 1007. Feels good. We still need a super – no, we took care of super flex. Ricky Pearsall. Jaden Reed. In the middle of the 11th, I think it's fine, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's saying we have to take our third quarterback here, which is we'll take Michael Penix. It's super flex after all. And then we have a choice here between Christian Kirk, Geno Smith, and Evan Ingram. We don't have a tight end, so let's go ahead and take Evan Ingram.
Take Evan Ingram there.
And then we could just take Roschon here for our final one to give us one extra running back because we only have Alvin Kamara. So we wanted to get away from the zero RB, but we didn't really get or the hero RB, but we didn't really get away from it because instead of going Brock Bowers kind of luxury, we went the high end super flex luxury. But I feel like this is a really good team. Jaden Dan, if you wanted to go Ashton Jeanty, you might feel better about this team being like a, you know, an Alvin Kamara, Ashton Jeanty team here at the very top, as opposed to Alvin Kamara, RJ Harvey team. but with Michael Penix being more of your quarterback too, along with a Bryce Young or something like that to go with Jaden Daniels. But anyway, as this team went, I'll bet you this grades out well. The quarterbacks are Jaden Daniels, Kyler Murray, and Michael Penix. The running backs are Alvin Kamara, RJ Harvey, Travis Etienne, and Roschon Johnson. The wide receivers are Brian Thomas, Mike Evans, Xavier Worthy, Calvin Ridley, Ricky Pearsall, Jaden Reed. Let's auto draft a kicker.
94.
Let's auto draft a kicker in a defense. Trash me. Let's get a 99, 96. And as I said, anyway, dude, we don't worry about these grades. So I don't care about these grades. It feels good to see them. But look, if you like, whenever you go to your drafts tonight, if it gives you a 78, something like that, don't worry about it. These sheets, they are humming right now. They're running really, really well. They've been updated this morning. If they need updates throughout the day, we will make sure and get those out to you. Trash Man, any final thing to say to the people before they go out for their drafts?
Enjoy it. You know, have fun. You know, the sheet makes it easy for you to just go in there and have fun with your friends, catch up, you know, get ready for a long season of fantasy football.
Yeah, man, it is certainly a long season, and just draft
some players you like that you want to see play. It's fun about fantasy. Yeah.
It's about dominating your friends and dominating your family and making sure that you see them lose and rubbing it in their faces, right? I mean, that's the main thing, and that's what the cheat sheet's here to help you with. But of course, there's also that one little thing on the side, and it's also to have fun. So listen, we love you guys. Thanks so much to all of our supporters, everybody that signed up for pro memberships. We certainly appreciate y'all. And for everybody who hasn't, please go do it, man. Now's the time. This is the time to get that done. We're going to be there for you all season. All right. You can find us over, of course, at rosterwatch.com.